Our prayer time before we do our devotional, I have reversed the order. I'll bring a devotional and then we'll leave some time at the end for prayer requests and praise reports. Praise reports first and then prayer request. We're talking about capturing real joy. This passage, for whatever reason, seems to be misread in many, many situations. And I hope to offer some clarity on it. Something is not working well up there. If not, you might just advance to the next screen and see how we're doing here. This first phrase, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ. First of all, you got to stop and think about the way that it's a little tricky the way it is translated. But he is really asking a question. Is there any encouragement in your own heart from belonging to Christ? If there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any, just, wow, I just recognize walking with the Lord is such a blessing. That's the message. That's the question. If you have that in your life, have you had any times when you just said, wow, without the Lord, I don't know how I would have faced this situation? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that realization that, you know what, I can get through this because my Lord is right here with me. What a blessed truth. That works a lot better now. The basis for real joy. The basis for real joy is this encouragement that should be in our hearts from belonging to Christ, from being one of His, from being connected to Him. That's an important reality. In some respects, we need to stop, get off the hamster wheel that we live in and reflect on a relationship and what it means. That if, in fact, we were given a terminal diagnosis today or tomorrow morning, and that terminal diagnosis would be fulfilled in the week to follow, our life only gets better. That's what we're talking about. It's just that because of Christ, it doesn't matter. Because there's nothing this world holds that is as sweet as the promise of knowing Jesus and the future that He has committed to us. The basis for real joy. I think of John chapter 14, verse 18, which has an interesting reminder to us. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What is Jesus telling us? He is saying, you and I do not have to worry about being alone. Although there are times when we truly feel alone. There are situations that happen that catch us off guard. And in some respects, God allows us to go through those circumstances so that when we finally get our senses together, we're able to appreciate this that testimony in our heart that hey, the Lord's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. But we do know that it is not a sign of not knowing Him because the psalmist talked about that. David talked about it, screaming out for the fellowship to be restored and those types of issues. I think of John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, here is a testimony. I do not know your circumstances tonight. But I can say this about your circumstances. They are never to strip you of your joy of knowing Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying here? And there are many times in life where our circumstances are anything but joyful. But as believers, it doesn't matter when we really, you know, when we really come to our senses, our grasp of real reality, genuine reality says, no, there is nothing this world can bring my way that strips me from the very best. And that's that I'm one of His. I'm His child forever. Now that's a sweet aspect that is so core to capturing real joy, is recognizing our joy is not in our situations of the past, our current circumstances, or our future hopes in this world. They're in Christ, which is timeless. Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2 reminds us of this very truth. Therefore, having been justified by faith, now that differentiates us from many in the world. We believe. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a oneness with Him. Through whom we also have access by faith once again into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the God, the glory of God. Now, you know what's critical here? What is the active verb? The active thought, I guess is not the right word to say verb, but it's the active thought, is that faith is at the core to us experiencing the recognition of our grace that we stand in and rejoicing in the hope of our God. Faith. So you and I have a decision to make. Are we going to have confidence in a relationship with Jesus Christ and in His promises and in His relationship with us? That is the means of real joy. It's independent of what others are doing to us, and it's independent of what we might have done in the past or what we might even hope to do in the day ahead. It's outside of this world. It's timeless. But it is absolutely foundational to capture the type of joy that Scripture is talking about. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's only possible when we get to looking up instead of around. This next part, if any comfort of love. The Apostle Paul was saying, if you are able to recognize the encouragement of Christ in you, that'll help you. If that's there, that's critical. You ought to therefore be fulfilled in my joy. You know, you ought to have that. And number two, if there any comfort of love, if you have experienced the love of God. Now that love is talking about being comforted by His sacrifice. That's exactly what the Easter's about. We are comforted by the reality that He died for our sins, even though He fully recognized we were sinners. He took us just the way we are, with all of our baggage. That's a beautiful truth. So it's if there's any comfort of love, if there's any, can you recognize, could you stand? I'm not asking for anybody to give testimony, but ask yourself this question. When we have a praise report later on, can any of us stand and give testimony of the love of God at work in your life? Where you say, I really sense it. I really experienced it this morning. I really experienced it as I went through the day. I experienced it in the midst of this trial. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is supposed to be the way we think. And we are actually to be looking for it and cultivating it in our own life. And then it says, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit. Well, I'll go to the comfort of love. I had a couple of verses I wanted to show here. These three. If any comfort of love. Notice what it says in John chapter 15 again. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And that's a critical item. You're saying, well, no, I haven't really experienced the love of God. I can't sense it. I'll tell you based on what John chapter 15 verse 10 is hinting, not hinting, it's stating very boldly, that if you want to experience the love of God, you probably ought to start obeying the Word of God. They go together. And then it shows on, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Notice his emphasis, Jesus' emphasis on you and I having the joy that is independent of our circumstances. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is the commandment, and it's tied directly with this thought. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, you know what? Our joy is dependent on our interaction. Are we obeying the word of God in our gentleness and kindness and compassion for one another? And if there is any fellowship of the Spirit. Now that, you ever tried to explain this phrase or this concept to someone who is without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? I challenge you to try that sometime. The fellowship of your spirit with the Spirit of God. You know, I can't help but think of Romans chapter 18, 8 verse 16 I meant to say. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. His Spirit is testifying, God's Spirit is testifying with our own spirit. Now, as a believer, can you identify what I'm talking about? Where the Spirit of God is just saying, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. You can get through this. Don't be concerned here. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's that internal testimony. Now, let me say that if you cannot identify that at all in your life, then I would have to challenge you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourself whether or not you're in the faith. Because his testimony of the Spirit of God residing within us is a reality for every genuine believer. The basis for real joy. And now, it's this phrase, therefore, if there is any consolation, any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, in other words, we're aware of God working in our lives. And that ought to give us joy, no matter how rough things are, and how bad the prognosis, and how disappointing our relatives are, and our friends, and our family, and all those other things. It's independent of that, because of the work of God in us. That is really, really sweet and powerful. Now notice this next phrase. We're going to talk. That's the basis of it. But now notice this next phrase. If any affliction and mercy. Now, I personally believe the first part, Paul is saying, look at yourself. Is this in you? Are you experiencing that? And then this next phrase, I believe the best way to interpret it is with the next verse 2. If any affection and mercy, is there anything in your life that is demonstrating your compassion and love for others? Is there anything going on? Can you think about today where you were a blessing to someone? The means, not the basis now. The basis is Christ and his work in us. The means to real salvation, to real joy, the means is a long ways from a self-focus. You'll see. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord of one mind. What is he talking about? He's talking about the oneness that you and I as believers are supposed to be practicing and experiencing and seeing in our lives. It's the coming alongside and being an encouragement to one another, a help for one another, consideration for one another. You know, when I look at this first one, I believe, fulfill my joy. Whoops, I should point up here. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. He is, the fulfill my joy is a command for us to do something. And I believe it is to pursue unity with others by focusing on our love of Christ. You and I are to pursue it. It's not just to sit back and say, well, I hope I get it. You know, we have a lot of this self-focus in worship today. Oh, I wonder if I feel the experience of God right now. No, you know, the emphasis doesn't seem to be that in Scripture. It's really about service, and it's about us pursuing unity with others. And that, in that you find the type of support, undergirding of your walk that'll sustain you. Pursue the unity with others by focusing on the love of Christ. And second of all, recognize you are one with Christ. All of you together. I'll go back to this passage. Fulfill. This is this mandate to do something. And then having the same love and being of one accord and one mind. This having the same love. There's this beautiful recognition of the oneness. Now, have you thought about that? What we share with one another in here, those of us that are genuine believers, you know, we have a lot of different lives. We are different economic and social status. We have different backgrounds. Some come from very strong families, and some come from families that are hardly able to identify that they have a family structure. But we come together in Christ and ought to recognize our oneness in Christ. That is what we share. And will for all eternity, by the way, because we are placed into the body of Christ. That's why we practice the Lord's table. We partake of the elements together as a reminder we're one. And this should be driving us. It isn't about how well we do. It's how well we do as a group to support one another to grow in Christ and manifest Christ's likeness. And then not only do we pursue and we recognize, we need to be experiencing the unity by walking in the love of Christ. That would be a good biblical reason to pursue worshiping some other place than where one is. If you are unable to experience any unity in your walk with Christ. Because there is to be unity. There is to be a close bond, a walking together. There's a beauty in that. And in our culture of narcissism, it's not always experienced. I can honestly say that I sense it very powerfully around here. That coming together and walking together and the unity. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same mind, being of one accord and of one mind. And now, we're going to talk about the fruit. We talked the basis, which is really Christ's love in us and around us and through us and that aspect of Christ working in us. The means of it is based in this recognition and response, fulfilling a commitment, a diligent commitment to it. But now the fruit, what does it look like? What would it look like in your life and in my life if we really are experiencing, capturing the joy of Christ? Well, I think it's found right here. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Okay, so that drives at something, doesn't it? That is prominent in our culture, and that's a self-focus. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And then the second thought, you notice the let here, let each of you look out not only for his own interest. Now note, it does say that it's all right to look out for our own interest. We don't have to do stupid things. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest. It assumes that we'll naturally look out for our own interest, but also for the interest of others. That's not natural. You know the best way to see that worked out? Is just watch 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds playing together. They will not do that naturally. If they end up doing it, it's because parents have been drumming it into their, somebody has been drumming it in their eyes, because it doesn't come naturally. It's my toy. Get your hands off my toy. No, you cannot have my toy. You know, that type of thing. But the tragedy is, many times, even in the parental interaction in those situations, we demonstrate exactly opposite of what we're trying to. We get angry or disturbed by that behavior, not because it is an offense to God, because it is disturbing our own world. And therefore, we want that stopped right now. Well, you know, you got to think about that a second. Because you're manifesting the very negative self-focus that you're trying to criticize the child for stopping. The way we approach others is really, really important. Fruits of real joy. A couple thoughts. Manifest selfless humility, not selfish ambition. Why are you doing what you're doing? People ought to see us do this selflessly, serving others. And number two, sacrificially serve one another rather than promote your self-interest. It is this manifestation of humility and this practice of taking care of others for the glory of God and not for the furtherance of ourselves. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. There's three thoughts that I wanted to bring out tonight in capturing real joy. One is the basis for it is Christ. That's why to really experience the joy that it's supposed to be found in our rejoicing always, again I say rejoice, you need Christ. And it needs to be anchored in Christ. And all of the eternal aspects of the promises that he provides us, as well as the temporal support. The means to real joy is the love of Christ flowing through you into the lives of others. That's the means for real joy. It's us getting out there and just saying, you know what, I'm going to help this individual. I am going to do what I can do to be a blessing to them. And the fruit is humility. It'll produce humility in us, and it'll produce service. Service of the needs of others. On this Easter week, may we manifest, practice, display to our day and age real joy that is found in Christ, that is just all centered around the love of Christ working and flowing through us, and the fruit of it, which is humility and a service of others. Amen.